produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome to my Father's Teachings. Good to have you all out here. Before we get into the word for today, let's go before the Father in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you for being our God and our King. Father, thank you for ministering to me and ministering to everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, thank you for giving us clarity around your word. Father, we thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding and causing us to see things better than we had before. Spirit of the living God, I yield myself to you. Help me to see so that I can communicate with clarity to your people. And so, Father, I thank you for ministering healing and wellness to your people. And I give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. All right, so what we're going to be talking about is coming from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through, well, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 12, but there's a particular verse that we're going to focus on. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." So this passage is about a series of things that Jesus is about to teach the disciples by the mountain. And so then in verse 3 it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So now there are a lot of things in this passage that we could deal with, but what we're going to zero in on is in verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So we're going to talk for however long is necessary. We're going to talk about being a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker. Now, I find that very important for us to work on, especially when you look at the climate that the world is in, when you look at the climate that our nation is in. Anybody can fight. Because, well, let's back up a second. So we need to understand what a peacemaker is. Well, what would be the opposite of peace? The opposite of peace would be war. It would be conflict. It would be irritation, something along those lines. And so what peace is, it's the opposite of conflict. It's the opposite of fighting. It's where those things are absent. So a peacemaker then would be someone who has the ability to go in and take a situation where there's irritation, where there's trouble, and bring about the peace. And in fact, the word peacemaker is actually tied to the word pacify. Now, what is the first thing you think about when you think about pacifying? Whereas you might have a little baby when their teeth are trying to grow in or whatever, and their gums are irritated. And so what you do is you give them a pacifier to suck on to calm their irritation. It's because the reason that they're crying is because of the soreness, because of the irritation or the pain. And so the pacifier has the ability to calm them. And so what we need in this world today are not simply people who know how to fight, who know how to irritate, who need to start up stuff. No, we need people in this world who can act as a pacifier and calm the irritation down. That's what God is calling for. That's what we're needing in this day. People who can take a situation where there's irritation, battle, struggle, war, what have you, and bring about peace. Bring about peace. And so Jesus specifically says that the people who are peacemakers are blessed. It's a blessing to be able to do that. It's a blessing to be able to go into a situation and bring in calmness, to bring in stillness. Praise God. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to analyze Jesus in action as a peacemaker. All right, you ready to go there? I thought you would be. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4. So we're going to look at Jesus acting as peacemaker. In Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, it says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them," he's talking to his disciples, "he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." Let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Verse 39 says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Verse 41 says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner or what kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The kind of man this is a peacemaker. That's what kind of man this is. But they hadn't seen this before. All right, so going back to looking at what's happening here. So Jesus tells the disciples that we're passing over to the other side. So one thing that we need to understand right off the bat is that if Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side regardless of what happens in the meantime. And that's important for us to understand, because sometimes people think that trouble means you're not making it to the other side. No, trouble does not mean you're not going to make it to the other side. Trouble just means trouble. But it has no bearing necessarily on whether or not you're going to the other side. Now, it may have a bearing on whether or not your travel plan is peaceful or joyful or not, but it has no bearing in and of itself on whether or not you're going to the other side. So don't think for a moment that just because things are not as you hope they would be right now, that it means that you're not going to make it where Jesus has promised you you're going to make it. Because if he has promised it and you stay in faith, then you're going to get there regardless of what is going on in the meantime. Your boat may rock some,
Your ship may get thrown about a little bit, but it does not mean that you're not going to make it to the other side solely because you're having trouble while you're en route. So going back to verse 6, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also other little ships with him. And there arose a great storm of wind. Now, let me say this, because oftentimes what I see when I hear people talk about this is they start talking about the devil. They start inputting the devil and talking about the devil is trying to take them out and all that. Well, actually, this passage says nothing about the devil. It tells you what's happening. Well, why is that important? Well, why are you bringing that up? The reason that I am bringing that up is because the Bible says give no place to the devil. And oftentimes what we do is we're creating places for the devil. The scripture says nothing at all here about the devil doing anything. But yet oftentimes Christians will create a place to talk about the devil, even when the scripture is not even talking about the devil. The Bible says there arose a great storm of wind. That's what the Bible says. So that's what we're sticking with as we address this particular situation, because it's important for us to understand that there are things that are just a part of life. There are things that are just a part of this earth atmosphere that we are in. And so as Jesus and the disciples are going over to the other side, the Bible says there arose a great storm of wind. So now you have this wind that's going on here. And it says, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So here is where a sort of a big problem begins to arise here, is that it's one thing for the storm to be outside the boat. It's one thing for the rain to be coming down and the winds to be blowing, but the waves beat into the ship. And so now the water that should be only outside of the boat is now getting into the boat. So now you've got a problem since the water is now getting into the boat. All right. Now look at verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. Now, this is a man who is in peace. You've got all this going on. You've got the storm raging. You've got the waves beating into the ship. You've got water getting into the ship and everything. And I'm pretty sure there was a lot of shouting and screaming and that kind of thing going on as well. But anyway, but here is Jesus on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship sleeping. I'm almost speechless here, but I understand, because you can be so locked in your place of peace that whatever is going on around you does not faze you, does not disturb you. Talk about how the Bible says that God gives his beloved sleep. So here is Jesus enjoying his sleep. And it says, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, let me say this, because if you are a peacemaker, you will run the risk of being mistaken as someone who doesn't care about the safety of other people. Because you are so in peace, because the way people's minds think, mind tends to think is like this, that if you care, you'll worry. If you care, you'll be in panic mode. But see, they didn't understand that peace is not simply something that Jesus teaches. Peace is who he is. He embodies peace. And so understand that particular peace, that if you flow in peace, you will run the risk of people believing that you don't care. And that's what Jesus is confronted with. He's being awakened out of his good sleep on this pillow in the hinder part of the ship with an accusation about him not caring if they die. But what they didn't understand was Jesus had already spoken about this. He'd already said, we're going to the other side. So he knew they were going over to the other side. So he was resting in what he'd already proclaimed. So he was not going to worry about something that he'd already spoken to. But see, oftentimes the mistake that people make is they don't link, they lose the presence of mind relative to what God has said. Once situations come, they throw out what God has said. So there is a disconnect between what God has said versus what they believe is going to happen based upon current situation. So they think we're going to die. Jesus had already said we're going to the other side. So it doesn't matter. Again, it does not matter how things appear to be if God has already spoken. He said we're going to the other side. That's what we're going to. That's what is going to happen. Rather, how much the winds and storms are beating up against the ship. It doesn't matter how much water has gotten into the boat. It doesn't matter if the other little ships have capsized. Jesus said we're going to the other side. And so, but see, in storm, that's where people tend to lose their grip on the word. So we need to make sure that we're holding on to the word of God, even in times, or especially in times where things appear to be going contrary to what the word has actually already spoken about. Because you have to understand, it is a natural thing for contrary winds, for winds, for things to happen contrary to what God has spoken. It's natural. That's a part of the process. And so so what we have to do is stay in a place of faith, regardless of what we see with our eyes, hear with our ears, or what have you. Because if God has spoken it, our mindset should be, I accept that. I don't necessarily understand what's happening in the gap, in this in-between time, but I've got sense enough to know that God is smarter than me. He's smarter than this storm, and he knows exactly what's going on. And since he said we're going to the other side, that's where we're going. So I'm not going to accuse God of not caring because he's not worried. And see, this is the mindset that we all need to get to, is where regardless of what is going on, we're not going to allow it to disturb our peace. We're not going to allow it to take us out mentally. So look at what happens in verse 39. It says, and he arose. So after they woke him up with his accusation that he doesn't care, and he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the Bible says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. So I want you to follow what's going on here. So Jesus is resting in peace. I know we tend to adopt the statement rest in peace to those who are dead. But you don't have to wait until you die to have peace. Peace is something that God has provided to us as living beings in the earth. You don't have to wait for it. So Jesus is resting in peace, asleep while everybody else is up, with not only a storm in the boat, but the storm had gotten into them to the point that they were accusing Jesus. And so then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. So here's what I want you to grasp from Jesus' statement. So Jesus says to the storm, peace, be still. And then the wind obeyed what he said. Well, why did the wind obey Jesus? Because Jesus flowed in peace. Then his words of peace meant something. He was a practitioner of peace. See, had Jesus not been at the embodiment of peace, his words would not have meant anything. See, a mistake that oftentimes believers make is mimicking words. Well, I'm just going to say, peace be still. But the thing about it, the thing that made his words work is the fact that he lived in peace mode. Peace is just what he would do. When there was sickness, he would bring about peace. He would pacify the situation with healing. If somebody was demon possessed, he brings out peace by casting out the demon, thus delivering the person from torment and that internal rage that they were contending with inside of their own soul. So it wasn't simply him using the words, peace be still. These words are reflective of his internal condition. And see, that's why a person can say these words, but if they don't house peace, if they don't carry peace, then the words will be pretty much meaningless. But he lived this. And so that's why when he said, peace be still, it meant something. It was not just words coming out of his mouth. These were words that were a part of his mentality. They were a part of his psyche. This was what he lived as the Prince of Peace. Praise God. And you see it captured right here that when he said, peace be still, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now look at verse 40. It says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Let me help you with this a little bit. So first, Jesus rebukes the storm. Then he rebukes them. Why is he rebuking them? Because they could have done this. In other words, they didn't have to disturb Jesus. They didn't have to wake him up out of his sleep in order for the storm to be put to rest or pacified. Otherwise, Jesus would have been out of place for rebuking them about it. He says, why are you afraid? Why is it that you have no faith? I've already said we're going to the other side. But you allowed the current situation that you're in to produce fear in you. And what fear does, fear is like snake venom. And instead of these people being pacified, they were paralyzed. And that's what happened. So when you see them telling, you know, accusing Jesus of not caring, these were people who were paralyzed by fear because they dropped what God said due to the situation that was going on in the moment. So he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Because see, he knows what the Bible says, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He knows that he's been putting the word in them. He's been injecting the word in them. Why is it? How is it that you don't have any faith? How is it that you weren't able to address this? Because I've been pouring myself into you is what he's teaching them. But yet, for some reason, you allow fear to paralyze you to where you could not use your authority. And then it says in verse 41, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another. Now, this is interesting because Jesus rebuked them for their fear, and now they got even more afraid. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I submit to you, as I stated earlier, the kind of man this is a man who epitomizes peace. What kind of man is this? Is a man who accepted the fact that he has the ability to change a situation or to calm things. And see, that's what we need to understand, that if I'm going to be a peacemaker, then I'm going to be a person. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a woman. I'm going to be a person who can go into a situation that's stormy. I'm going to be the kind of person that can go into a situation that's out of control, and I'm able to reel it in. Why? Because I have the components that we're going to deal with in more depth at a later date. But I have the components that are necessary to bring about peace in the moment. So I'm not paralyzed by what I see. I embrace it because I have the tools necessary to pacify. I have the tools necessary to bring about peace in this situation. And so that, my friend, is what I'm going to do. We're going to pick this up next time. God bless you, and I will see you later. I love you. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.